or they think, hey, Johnny, you got laid 4 or 5 times this week, man. It's pretty something else. Now, again, when Susie does that, well, we know that she becomes far less than a hero. And that really is, I think we're all responsible as males and females and adults. We create the problems that happen with the tribal thing, because everything comes back to sex, more or less. It always comes back, well, sex and politics.
It comes back to two things. It comes back to sex and 30, 40, 50,000 years of ancient DNA.
Well, it's short. Okay, so it, with sex and politics, and I'll give you your DNA. Yes, it's been going on since the cave days.
You're exactly right, Gail.
Of course. And I said that just the other day. There's nothing really new that's happening under the sun today. In fact, somebody said to me the other day, oh, my God, today, the kids today, or the people today. I said, what? The people have always been screwed up. This didn't just happen. The only thing that's happened is we're now connected. We're more wired today than we've ever been wired before. So as soon as somebody does a stupid thing, the world knows about it.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
So who has the better advantage to get into the boardroom and to rise higher on the corporate ladder? Do men have a bigger advantage or do women have a bigger advantage? Think about that a moment. Now, most are going to say initially, oh, no, no, that's a man's world. Men have the biggest advantage in the boardroom. But I wonder now, there are more CEOs and more executives, female executives, than ever before, as there should be. And the conversation today is central to it's a gender thing, or is it? We're going to talk about that today on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. We are on the march to 100 shows here on the season one, and we thank you for being here, being part of the journey. Have a lot of news and information to give you a little bit later on about the show, so stay forward to that. But today it's all about, well, flirting your way to the boardroom. What does that really mean? Now, here's what I want to suggest right up front. I think a lot of women have an advantage. And I think women can use their female aspect, their attributes, if you will. A lot of women know how to play the women role really well. Am I stepping out of bounds, ladies, or does that... I think women may have an advantage, actually, to get into the boardroom. I don't know that you have to sleep your way to the top. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I think smart women know how to use all the assets that God has given them to be able to do what they need to do. What do you say to that?
So I think, typically men... get Ben in the boardroom faster for a lot of reasons that we've discussed in other shows. But, flirting, there's different aspects of flirting. Mm-hmm. And I don't flirt necessarily, but I'm recipient of flirts, and I guess I do take advantage of it. I mean, there are ways that are subtle, and it's really coming down to... basically just using whatever tools you have. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, just by boosting egos, by playing along, by complimenting, there are ways to ingratiate yourself in someone's mind so that it may help you step up the ladder.
I'm wondering, Sally, this though, does that somehow encourage more of it? I mean, listen, does that, in other words, get to the point where the next thing is he's pinching your ass?
I think everybody should have their own boundaries. And I don't think I would never let it get to that point. And if it ever felt uncomfortable, I would walk away from it. I mean, you know, there is a borderline sexual harassment and flirting, and you just have to be smart about it. And I don't think, you know, it shouldn't be outward. I mean, it should be subtle. It's not something that the entire office should know about. Mm-hmm. It's just a relationship you have with a certain person that you may compliment him or text him after a meeting and tell him he did a great job or tease him or whatever. But it's a relationship that you develop in your own style, in your own way. But you have to know your boundaries and you have to know when to back off.
Well, you say you have to know, but not everybody knows that. And clearly sometimes the big boss, you know, I did a consultant gig one time, Sally, with a gentleman, let's just call him Chuck. And I'm calling him Chuck because his name was Chuck. And he was the, exactly. And he was the chairman of the board, okay? And everybody was scared shit of Chuck, you know? And that, you know, was the big chairman of the board walking down the hallway, and everybody kind of ran from Chuck, and ladies didn't like Chuck much because he was a powerful guy who kind of used his power, and sometimes not the best way. Of course, I was a consultant with the firm and pulled Chuck into the boardroom and said, "That's enough, Chuck. You need to stop it. You need to stop acting like an asshole. And you need to stop making the women feel intimidated." And I've had that happen a couple of times in my professional journey. I had a doctor one time, an MD, who did the same thing. During the first break, I pulled the doctor out and I said, "Listen, if you're going to continue to act like an asshole in this meeting," I said, "let's just call it a day right now." He looked at me and said, "What?" So,
but you know, but that's sexual. But that's borderline sexual harassment, if not sexual harassment. And I think, you know, you have to separate the two. There's flirting and there's sexual harassment.
I've had some experience in this arena. let's just say most of my life. Okay. First of all, I had two brothers in my family, and I had many male friends in school. And the book "Women Are from Mars, Men Are Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars," or whatever it was, when that came out, that's really true. Men and women are wired differently. Mm-hmm. And my brothers always kind of explained that to me in a nice way. I'm slightly attractive. I wouldn't call myself like super pretty or anything, but I think I'm maybe a little bit attractive. And they were worried about me stepping out and...
Now, stop right there, Ava. Stop right there. That is so full of nonsense. You are hot. Let's knock it off here. You are hot. Now, tell people, how can you not look in the mirror and say, "I'm hot, man"?
Now, is that flirting or is that sexual harassment?
No, but you guys are making me laugh. But when I did enter the corporate world, I want you to know I had some people that were very old-fashioned, World War II fighter pilots. I had two of them that I worked for. I was an intern at a very young age. I had to step my game up, okay? And I worked in an all-male industry, pretty much entirely male. And this is going to sound crazy, but when I engaged with people that were in my group, the male group, I would always approach them more in a sisterly way. And I know that probably sounds crazy, but I pretended like these guys were my brothers. And that's the type of relationship I wanted to build with them. So when they burped and they farted and they said some kind of raucous joke to one another, I never took umbrage with that. I sort of joined the group and I didn't.
So you were burping and farting the same time they were, right?
Well, I was laughing. I couldn't stop myself from laughing because, I mean, I kept thinking these guys are just no different, really, than my brothers. I mean, they all grew up and had sisters and did all these silly things. Actually, men, I'll tell you, I'm going to be frank with you, they're really just four-year-olds in a grown-up body.
Mm-mm.
I'm just telling you, that's how it is because they're very instantaneous in their reactions. They're very...
Is that why people call me a juvenile delinquent?
You are.
Thanks.
I'm not saying that to be mean to men, okay? I'm not trying to denigrate men. Actually, I think we need men, and women and men need one another. And I guess in the boardroom or in the workplace, I think we need one another.
Hold on. We've got to ask Gail now. We've got to ask the ultimate feminist here. Gail, do women need men?
Well, I can only speak from my planet, and of course women need men, but this is really we're really looking at this from a business perspective. And as And we have to acknowledge the reality that if we are in business, we are salespeople and we are constantly selling ourselves. So as any good salesperson knows, we use the right tool for the right time. What is going to allow me to appeal to the person that I'm trying to sell my ideas, my product, my service to at any particular time in the shortest amount of time? What's going to allow me to capture their attention and their interest? So it is really a strategy rather than any sort of taboo sort of feminist kind of thing or non-feminist kind of thing or something you want to take somebody to jail about. But the fact is, like any other tool, it has boundaries and it has rules. And the boundaries and the rules have to be respected. So the idea is if you decide to either take this tool and either use it on display or use it as an actual physical strategy, sort of acknowledging that I'm going to treat these guys over here like they're my brother and this guy over here like he's my sage uncle Bernie. You have rules. You have to know what your rules are, and you have to fine tune it like any other strategy and know when you're stepping over the line.
All right. So, but what if the boss really wants to sleep with you, Gail? What if he says that? What if he just is so forward and he says, listen, I got a role for you, such and such, that I'm looking at right now. And then he hits on you to have dinner with him and so on and so forth. What, I mean, is that okay?
Well, you have to figure out what's going to kill the deal. Is he going to fire you? Because he is, that's the time you get a good lawyer.
I see.
Because he's not messing around, and he's deciding that it's my way or the highway. If there's no way to negotiate this, then you find out who represented that newswoman at Fox and got $20 million.
I was just going to say to you, so you just took the words out of my mouth. Look at the Roger Ailes thing. He seemed to be sleeping with everybody. And Bill O'Reilly was as well, evidently.
But that makes me absolutely insane, because Gretchen Carlson rose to the top. His sexual harassment, whatever it was, all those years earlier, right, Didn't affect her career. She waited and waited and waited.
See, that's
and
what I wondered, Sally.
I think she was a Spartan.
No, I think it has a little more insidious with something to do with the left trying to take down Fox News. But the whole place isn't riddled with, you know, sexual perverts, which is what it seems.
So you're saying it gets more political. The sex gets it gets more political at that point, because I don't know.
Why didn't she sue him years ago?
Well, but she's not from the left either, Gretchen Carlson. She wasn't that. So what does that mean?
Money talks.
Money talks and bullshit walks.
I think she didn't sue him any earlier because you have to have support. And I think as times are changing and as things are changing, the amount of women that are CEOs of major corporations in 2017 is up by 16%.
Listen, Gail, if you want support, you get a push-up bra or you get a jock strap, either one.
So what you do is you sue them 10 years later, and then all these women come out of the closet and start suing them, and they have no clue what he did or can even remember it. I mean,
well, here's one thing I need to throw in there. The relationship in the workplace between men and women has become very, very nervous for a lot of reasons. I think there are a lot of guys out there that are afraid to even say what they're thinking in a meeting for fear they may offend someone. It's gotten to the point now, I actually know of a guy who brought in a gift for the women in the office. And it was like a little piece of candy or some little trivial thing. And he didn't give it to the men, and he got fired for that.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And he
That's
was a good
stupid.
Worker. No, I'm serious. This actually happened. It's a friend of mine. He is like so respectful of women. You would not believe it. I mean, it was just mind boggling. But I'm just saying that women need to be engaging. We need to engage with people. When we put on this stiff exterior, and we say, well, you know, if you don't treat me the way I want to be treated, I deserve respect. Well, of course you deserve respect. But you also have to kind of lay the groundwork with people, and not just with men, but with women as well. I mean, I had more problems with women in the workplace than I did with men.
Well, that's an interesting point, Ava. That's interesting because I've seen where women can be very, very vicious, you know, and I've seen women in power who are more vicious to the women than they are the men.
Oh, they're much more political than the men are.
One of the worst bosses I had was a woman.
See? Absolutely. Case in point. Let's get Barbara in on this. She's being awful damn quiet here. Barbara, you're too funny. And so listen, I think the big thing, you should take all this in here now. Just answer me, honestly. Do you think flirting gives women an extra advantage over the men?
Well, you know, now...
That's a yes or no question.
Well, okay, we can say yes, but are you attractive when you flirt?
Ooh.
That's the bottom line. Because if you're not attractive, think about what I'm saying here. Then it becomes, because let me tell you something. If my boss looks like Malcolm out loud and he's flirting and I'm flirting, it's on. Okay.
Oh, baby, but here we are now.
But if he looks like Governor Christie, we got a problem.
Oh, Christie?
You see my point? So that is really what it is. Now, I've listened to all the ladies and duly respectful of everybody's point of view. But do understand that I have worked with an all-male force. I was the first woman hired as a BART train operator in San Francisco area. I worked with all men. What I noticed is that in the 80s, that the workplace was really where, because I was young and up and coming, and I didn't really understand the do's and don'ts of the workplace. It was very interesting to see that most of the wives were derived right there at BART. In other words, many of the older gentlemen married their subordinates, and the subordinates went on to be district managers or district. They used that marriage to move forward and get these huge positions with the district. And, you know, we look at it now. I have a girlfriend, beautiful blonde lady, not going to bring up her name, but she sued and got the highest award in California for sexual harassment. The interesting thing is here you find someone who is incensed by someone seeing them as attractive and putting on overtures in and outside of the workplace. And then I look at some of my counterparts who married in and were promoted because of the power. Now it's a very thin line. I mean, what happens when, you know, we as women are never approached by the men that we work with? And what happens when the men start flirting with the men? And then us women are left to argue and fight, and we're still not effective. I think the tension and the yin and the yang between men and women needs to be preserved.
Well, listen, you're interesting to say the men and men. I think the rules have changed, Barbara. You're right. There's men flirting with men and women flirting with women, and that's a regular that's a regular occurrence today, I believe, because
some of my best coworkers were gay guys.
Yeah, but they're not suing for sexual harassment. Let's take Uber, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very, very interesting. Now, this is going to be the demise of this company. There's several other reasons why Uber is not going to go forward. But one of the major reasons, they say, is because of the fact that the atmosphere in the upper echelons of the office, because most people work out in their own cars. But the upper echelons, there's about 7 women suing.
Because yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, they feel that they weren't protected in the workplace.
Here's the thing I want you to think about. You know, it is a two-way street. But can flirting sometimes be used by women to entrap men because they want to accuse them of sexual harassment? How often does that happen? It is a sexual revolution in many, many ways. But listen, we are on a revolution here, too. Let me bring you up to speed on a couple of things here on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure, friends. This is today, believe it or not, show number 96. That's right. I cannot believe this incredible body of work is, it really has been an unbelievable ride. And we're talking about a lot of interesting things on this show. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. I want to encourage you to check out all of the co-hosts of this show, which have been nothing short of amazing. Today on the show with Sally Fernandez, Ava Armstrong, Barbara McGee, and Gail Murphy. All of the links can be found right this moment on the homepage of AmericaOutloud.com. In fact, they're at the very, very top of the program as we are in our push here with some very interesting topics. Our finale, show number 100, is Sunday. And that's it with season one. It's been an unbelievable show. We've created, we've got there on the top of the site here, a very interesting message, the show that changed the conversation. Think about that. I think we have done that in a lot of ways here because of the topics like today. Now, this show will return again. Season one will start on August 7th, and it will run in its entirety. And guess what? This November, we will be out with season two. And we are now in search. If you have somebody you think that should be a co-host of this show in season two, email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. Thus far, I have 83 emails in from people who want to be a co-host on season two, if you can believe that. There have been amazing response from people who want to be part of this show. I think it's created some electricity out there, to say the least. So again, we invite you in these next few days, and thanks for telling your friends and sharing all of this great content out there. And also, I'm going to tell you some other things. When we get back, we have a new store that has just been launched, and you can be the first ones into the store and actually find a lot of the books from a lot of our authors, best-selling authors, and a lot of the people you're listening to right here, like Gail Murphy, Sally Fernandez, Ava Armstrong, are all authors, and they all have books on the store. So encourage you to go check that out with some interesting memorabilia and items for America Out Loud, and you'll be the first to hear it right here. We're going to pause right here. We'll be right back, flirting your way to the boardroom. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the vision of the voices, AmericaOutloud.com. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample, or just go to AmericaOutloud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I'm Gail Murphy, here with the girl crew, Barb, Ave, and Sally. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, let's bring in the white boy.
Yeah, well, if I get out in the sun, I do turn a little color, Gail.
Oh, God.
When's the last time you flirted your way to get something that you wanted?
Yesterday. I was at a huge party in Beverly Hills on the Warner Estate, and John Voight walked in, and I wanted to talk to him. I hadn't talked to him in a long time, and there were things that I wanted to know what was going on, because he's producing movies now. And I just said, "Hi, John, how you doing? How's it going? You have some time for me? I'd love to take you over in the corner of the room and turn on my tape recorder." And I had a wonderful 20-minute conversation with him. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see the pictures.
Interesting. So yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them out on social media. Yeah.
He had his arm around me. It was wonderful. We both got what we needed. It was a really great exchange.
Now, Gail, let me ask you something. Now, for real, think about this now. If John Voight's there, if you're a guy and you go up to John Voight and you say, hey, John, how are you doing today? Is this Fred? I'd like to go over in the corner with you and record for 20 minutes. What do you think John would say?
What do I think that he would say?
Yeah. Does he say, okay, let's go do it, you ugly bastard? Or does he say, oh, I'm on it?
Call my publicist is what he said.
That's right.
Bet your ass. There's my point right there.
Exactly.
So
that was the point that Barbara made. You know, it's depends on how attractive you are and how you can use what you have. I mean, it really makes a big difference.
Well, I said opening up the show today, Sally, I said that I think women do have an advantage. I made that pretty leap, that strong leap right up front, that I believe women do have an advantage to get into the boardroom and get what they want because they can use their attributes, whatever they may be. I don't mean they have to sleep with somebody.
I agree. You know, I think it's because, in part, women are always being complimented. You know, rarely do men constantly be heard that, oh, nice suit you're wearing, you look nice today. But women are on the most part, are always complimented for something. So you kind of take that and you find ways to use it.
Well, you're right, Sally, you're right. But in full disclosure, I do get a fair amount of compliments.
Well, you're an exception.
And
in many ways.
He does have a nice ass, though.
Ava says, what an asshole.
No, she was talking about the
nice
other part.
Ass.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
She wasn't talking about your mouth.
Oh, boy.
Here's an interesting point. You know, a lot of times, now, I was married. Everybody knows I was married to a cop. And, you know, I was privileged to listen to a lot of various information. Now, mind you, I was working as a train operator, which is an engineer on a train that carries, you know, 400,000 people a day through the tube, definitely a male-oriented position. And I think it's very interesting when women are in male-defined roles.
Okay.
Now, we do our best, but my ex used to tell me all the time that it was very difficult for him to dial back and feel equal when he was paired with a female partner. He felt that he had to protect her. Just his innate inertia made him overcompensate for the female that he was working with. And in smaller circles, men resent women that they have to overcompensate for, that they feel that these women don't have their back. Perfect example, when I was given the assignment of being out in Concord Yard. Concord is a predominantly white, predominantly male, predominantly over 50. They've been riding the rails so long that, you know, they look, you know, like they have. They're obese, they're mean, you know, redneck, I guess I would want to say. And so here I show up, and it was horrible. Because you know what? They refused to help me. And at the workplace, it is a give and take. It is, I wouldn't say it's a brother-sister relationship. No, not at all. I would say it is a knowledge, my knowledge with your knowledge creates the synergy that makes the job perform. And it was very difficult to see them literally leave me out on the rail to allow me to make mistakes so I could lose my job, get fired, or be reprimanded. I mean, it was unbelievable. Setting booby traps, having conversations. Men do this.
Barbara, I never had a lot of patience for that, honestly, you know.
But it happens.
Yeah, I know it does. I know it does. But let me say to you this. My vantage point now as a man here on the show. Listen, I was the CEO, creative director for an agency, a worldwide agency, for a lot of years, over two decades. And I have to tell you that I was a different kind of cat in this way. I treated men and women equally. So when they were in my boardroom, I expected the same from both. Nobody had an advantage. Now, I ended up promoting more women in my day only because they were smarter and could do the job better. Bottom line. And so they ended up getting the promotion, and a lot of women ended up running our organization because of that. But it's just because they were more qualified. So I didn't look at it. And quite frankly, just being my own personality, I probably flirt every moment of the day with everybody because that's just me trying to be me. I don't even know if I'm doing it or not, but I don't do it in a way that, I mean, some people would consider some of the things I would say and do probably as flirting, you know?
Well, you know, the jokes and the things, the continuity that men can create on the job mm-hmm. to outset you from the corporate or
definitely
from, you know, I mean, just to be sitting there and listening to some of the lewd just insidious jokes.
Well, Barbara, there were men who thought the women were inferior in the organization. I remember this just like it was yesterday. Oh, it's been a while yes. now. But there were men who thought the women were inferior. And I could tell just by their freaking body language. You didn't have to tell me anything. You know, that's just the way they acted and treated people. And of course, now with that would kind of piss me off, you see. But that's kind of how I was with everybody. But I'm that way, Barbara, as you know me already, whether it comes to male, female, black, white, Jewish, Portuguese, whatever it is. I think everybody should have an equal playing field and come into the dance and have the chance, you know, a real chance to do whatever it is in front of us. I really believe this, you see.
I agree. There is like the good old boys club. I know what you mean about that. And that's sort of what my brothers were preparing me for when they talked about guys. And I knew how guys talked amongst themselves. Yeah. So you're right about that, Barbara. But I was the type of person. Now, this is how I am. I love a challenge. Okay. Lay down the gauntlet. Let me run it. Okay. Because for me, getting into the boys group, getting into that crowd, standing at the coffee bar with them. I was the only woman in the group. And listening to them say the F word and just not saying a word about that. I didn't use the F word, but I did not chastise them for using it. Mm-hmm. And I laughed at some of their jokes were actually very funny. And as long as they weren't at the expense of somebody else. So I kind of had guidelines, but I was very, very engaging. That's the only word I can use. I treated these people the same as I would my family. And eventually, over time, they realized I was a very valuable member because, number one, I worked my ass off, okay? And they really liked that about me.
Ava, you had three brothers, you said. Three, was it, brothers?
Two.
Okay, yeah. Now, I had five sisters, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have great insight on women.
Oh, my God. I know to stay out of the bathroom when they're using it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there are certain things you have knowledge that, you know, if some guy grew up in a family with just one other brother, he would not have that knowledge base that you have. I think having been close to my dad and my grandfather and also having two brothers, I got this kind of inside scoop, which I was very interested in anyways. And then getting, you know, into a field that was male oriented, I was, you know, I needed all the help I could get. So I wanted to succeed. And I knew that working hard, I'll be honest with you, I had to work twice as hard to get recognized or noticed in the male world. So once they figured out that I was a really hard worker and they could call upon me to help them with a project or help them with something, it's a matter of like gaining trust and gaining respect. And I think the flirtatious part can be very dangerous in that arena because there's a difference between being engaging and being flirtatious. All right.
Okay. That's a fine line.
I agree. And I think that's what we're talking about in terms of when does it become sexual harassment versus flirting. And I've had the exact same experience that Ava has had for different reasons. You know, in corporate life, I was in technology that was male dominated in the 70s and 80s. And I relocated and redesigned office space, and it was all working with contractors. And I found myself in the group, but I played not their sister as much, but I played as one of the boys. And it was almost, I found that, and Ava, you might have found this as well, is they were testing you. They were just kind of seeing the shock value, how much can you take? And when they realize that, you know, you can join along, then they earn respect for you. So it was really a way of earning respect and also empowering yourself.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, you know, you flirt along with them, you play along with their game, but you end up with having respect from that group.
Yes.
I think it's difficult let me just be honest. Have you ever had to dial back what you know, the facts you know, the experience?
Dumb it down,
shut it up, because you realize that your inertia is more than other people can take. Because in the workplace, it is an effort of all of us together. We all together put together our various duties to create the workday. We have forgotten about the culture that we should try to create at the workplace. So what happens is we allow it. And then Friday, guess what? You're the butt of the joke because you didn't stand up in the beginning. Or as my ex-husband, I hate to quote him, but I have to, as my ex-husband would say, you want to be a part, you want the male paycheck, then you got to bring the balls. And what he meant by that, now this is a cop on the street. What he meant by that is that women had to prove themselves by being overly aggressive, dangerous with the citizenry of San Francisco, literally, to prove themselves on the job. Before
so your ex would tell you had to bring the balls, huh?
Absolutely.
It's a wonder he's your ex. Now, that's a hell of a sexist statement to make, is it not, ladies? Or
But it
also depends on, you know, there's different work environments and there's different cultures that go along with those. And I brought my balls, but it was juggling them all in the air.
I'll tell you guys a story, just a quick one. I'll tell you how I knew I was accepted into the club, okay? I was walking to my vehicle in the parking lot. I had on a business suit, very nicely tailored. There was a gentleman standing on the shipping dock, and I use that term loosely, and he made a comment to me that was not very nice. The guys that I worked with came out to the shipping dock and asked him what he had to say to me. And they brought me over to the guy and had him apologize to me. That just gives you an idea of what kind of loyalty I had with this group of men that I worked with. So I'm just telling you, when you're in, and it's good.
Well, check this out. I had someone on this panel said that you need to be engaging. And I really agree with you. But what I'm saying about engaging is pull them aside one-on-one. And then you will find that men will not stand up for the hate that they muster in the group.
You know, I'm one of those people that will look at a situation and sometimes rather than fight back, I kind of want to know why it's happening. You know, what precipitates this kind of behavior? And I'm struck by the story, by Barbara's story about bringing the balls, and then the other story about being redeemed by the two guys that she works with. And it reminds me of of a little journey that I took not long ago to figure out, why is there this huge Grand Canyon between these behaviors of, and I call them groups as opposed to individuals. Why on a one-on-one you could get along with somebody, and then when it came to group, it just became all tribal. And I realized that when growing up, most women grew up without sports, unless you're like under 30. So we grew up without sports. They grew up completely in a world of teamwork, winning, brutalizing, doing anything to win. All bets are off, no rules, whatever it takes. And they were completely exclusive. There were no women in it. And women became the enemy because they didn't understand. They were not part of the experience. This is a whole chapter that we as women have never been privy to and don't understand and look at this behavior and see it as this whacked out tribal behavior, but it does have a context. So I thought to myself, I know nothing about sports. Zero, zip. I became the biggest Laker fan in the state of California. No kidding. I just threw myself into the Lakers, and it was easy because they were such a great team. There was so much there. There was so much color. And I knew more about Western Conference NBA basketball than 9 out of the 10 men that I talked to. And you know what? When we would go out, they would be asking me what I think about this and what I think about that. What did I think about that trade? Here's how I did it. I would watch the games. I'm a smart person. I can figure it out. Every time I knew I would be going into a social situation, I would always read the LA Times sports page that day.
That double standard exists. When you have a little boy and, you know, Johnny grows up a little bit and he's a teenager and he's out, you know, screwing as many women as he can, somehow that becomes really kind of cool to a lot of people. Or they think, hey, Johnny, he got laid 4 or 5 times this week, man. That's pretty something else. Now, again, when Susie does that, well, we know that she becomes far less than a hero. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, listen, we are talking here, flirting your way to the boardroom. What's good? What's permissible? What's not? Where are the boundaries? Are there any boundaries? And, you know, listen, let's be clear. Let's be frank, okay? You know, this whole talk about, well, he's got the bigger balls, or we hope she's got a set of balls. Yeah. Women don't have balls. Women have ovaries. Let's get that clear right now, okay? This whole notion that women have to have a bigger set of balls, I think is a bunch of nonsense.
I think you're a little too sensitive right now.
Well, how about we go to some of the men and say, we hope you grow a set of ovaries.
As long as women continue to have the larger brain, we're okay.
Oh. Yes. That's so you don't. Do you carry your brain and your ovaries or your balls? I guess is the question.
I think above the neck, unlike a lot of men.
Ooh, okay.
If men win for bigger balls, I would suspect women win for bigger boobs.
Well, or brains.
I hope not.
I'd like to go back to what Ava said. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We are just different.
Well, and
we
some
found
of us are
different ways to level the playing field.
Some
and
of us are
up with a great way.
Some of us
Let
are from Pluto, Sally too, keep in mind. So it's not just
That's
Mars
true.
And Venus. Some
you
of
and my
us,
husband.
Some of us
well,
are
let me
odd.
Ask you something. If it wasn't for sex, would men and women ever get together?
There wouldn't be men and women.
Exactly. If we create so many rules, where will we find our husbands? Think about that.
Yeah, I think we'd still get... Let me answer Gail. Since I'm the guy here, let me answer Gail. I think we would still get together because, quite frankly, with women, you have compassion, you have a real dialogue, you have interest, you have intellect, you have beauty, you have... You know, listen, if I'm going to go into battle, I'd take the best group of men and women I could, and I'd go into battle. But, you know, I think there are some absolute advantages that are beyond. I don't look at every woman. I have a great woman, female relationships, and I don't consider them about sex. I mean, I simply don't. I have strong, strong, strong women friends. Yeah. And I don't look every time I call, oh, geez, I want to get laid. That's not how it works, you know? No, I think men, those of us who are not shallow, absolutely look for women then more than just sex. Did I answer that question?
So yeah. Then there are tribes within the tribe.
Yes. Yes.
You tell me, ladies, there what are. Do you think?
No, there aren't, guys. It goes on a you know, there's a scale, okay, of I'm going to call it testosterone, okay. All right? And there are guys that are absolute cavemen, and then, you know, you're maybe up on the upper end of that scale, Malcolm, where you're, you know, you're more of a gentleman and you're more of a scholar and you're more of an intellectual. So
a metro male.
Yeah, you know, more of a metro kind of male, but yeah, it is. There is a scale, and I think there is a scale for women too. That, you know, there are some women that are just uber feminine, and then there are some women that are, you know, they're very comfortable in a flannel shirt, like myself. So, you know, you have to kind of gauge that. And I think Barbara said something brilliant a little while ago. She was talking about separating them out from their little herd. Okay. And she's absolutely right. That's the strategy that women need to use in the workplace. You need to kind of separate them out, get friendly with each one, get to know them, and find out what they need. What is the thing that they need? And then you deliver that. And by a need, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, does he want you to kiss him or something? But I'm talking about, you know, does he need somebody to help him with spreadsheets, or is he someone that would, you know, need this kind of thing done, or even coffee made for him, God forbid. Can you imagine serving coffee in today's world? And I figured all of these different people out, and she's absolutely right. That's how you do it. You separate them and you figure out the need of each person.
But what you also want to do is you want to kind of get away from this uber sensitivity, because, yeah, you know, and put flirting back in. I mean, there is, wow, some healthy platonic flirting. There's nothing wrong with teasing and paying people compliments. And, you know, you want to have that kind of natural relationship with people in the workforce without feeling like if I hug them or give them some candy or say something, that somehow it's going to be misconstrued as sexual harassment. And I think, Ava, you brought that up before. And the more we do that, then the more we kind of paralyze ourselves from having relationships. And
I think I gave them permission to be a man. I gave them permission to be themselves. And I never judged them harshly on that. There was one guy he became a very close mentor of mine. And we used to go meet at a pancake place, you know, on the weekend. And I knew his wife, and she was a great lady, and we were good friends. And, you know, I became very good friends with this person, and he was very instrumental in helping me along the way. And my way to say thank you to him was to buy him a pancake breakfast. I mean, that's the kind of bonding that I did.
Did he ever make a pass at you?
He made a lot of jokes. His wife was actually a Miss Massachusetts. So she was absolutely stunningly beautiful. And she was also a person, you know, I knew her personally. So his jokes were very kind of almost like just like wild ass jokes like you make, you
right,
know?
Right.
You know the jokes that you make, Malcolm.
Exactly.
He would say things like that were funny, you know, but, you know, he'd say something like, oh, you know, have another pancake, your ass needs it, or something. You know, I mean, right. You know, we'd say something funny like that. But, I mean, I never took offense by those things because I knew it came from a place within him. He completely respected me in every way.
So it was non-threatening. It was
totally non-threatening. It's just like if I sat down with you and had dinner.
Right.
You could pretty much say anything, including right, the F word,
right,
and I wouldn't be offended. I would probably laugh.
Right, right. I pretty well do say about everything or anything.
So,
I've been accused of that.
I wanted to add, I think it's important for us to recognize that when we're in the workplace, the most important tool I use, let me just say, is to gauge someone else's emotional intelligence level. Mm. And what I mean by that is that many times people are promoted for various attributes that have nothing to do with their talent. Mm-hmm. And like salespeople are very gregarious and, you know, they could be brash and, you know, depending on what you're selling or what territory they represent or, you know, East Coast verbiage versus West Coast verbiage. I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts here. But I think what's most important, if I can just speak to women now, is don't give the wrong signals. Signals come from too much makeup for the workplace, you know, nightclub makeup during the day. You know what I mean? Wrong attire. You know,
no cleavage.
Check your attire. Now, if you want to show, you know, a little bit, you know, everybody knows you got a banging body. But when a man says, hey, you know what? You look great today. You know, understand that maybe that's his way of communicating and saying, you know what? When we go in this meeting, I'm going to support you 100%. That could be his way of identifying with you because he doesn't have anything else he could say
to
you.
Well, Barbara, let's face it. Women do look far better than most of the men. I mean, come on. I mean, women have all of that. I mean, men get up in the morning and, you know, they just exist. I mean, they don't have to get ready. They don't do, I mean, like my son, he can take a shower in, you know, 2.1 seconds, okay, and be done. And look just fine and handsome and ready to go. My daughter, oh my golly. Come back 2.5 hours later and she is still dolling herself up, you know?
But get this. My daughter is exactly the opposite.
Wow.
She rolls out of bed. She's ready to go. And I have to make her, you ladies, you understand what I'm saying? Because it is important because she is going to be a young woman. Soon she will be in the workforce. And it's important for me to teach her how to stylize herself, to create respect, to create competence, to be accepted in the workforce. Because many of us think that we're accepted just as we are, but that's not true. Men are visual.
That's so true.
Well, here's the thing. When you are gifted to be in the special gender, the higher gender, you need to respect that and you need to go with the flow and learn what the rules are. It's like, you know, being in the monarchy. It might be an invasion and you might have extra work to do, but you have a job to do.
Yeah. All right, listen, I want to go around real fast here in our last couple of minutes here. And I just real quickly, I want to ask each of you, what's the big takeaway from this season as a whole? Let's start that now because I may ask you this again on another show in the next few days, but let's tell folks, what's the big takeaway from this whole season of conversation, which has been like off the charts here, really? What's the big takeaway, Ava? Let's start with you.
Oh, gosh. I think that the women you've had on this show have been on a spectrum, and it's gone from, you know, A to Z. I mean, it's totally 100% everything is encompassed there. So I'm on the conservative end, but, you know, the other ladies that have given their shows and done a great job, it's been great to listen to the different points of view. So I've learned quite a bit from it.
Yeah. All right, cool. I know you've kind of hinted to that before. Cool. Gail, tell me what your big takeaway from the season is, please.
Well, I love it. At the end of the day, we all sort of come from the same generic place. And yet, here's all these different manifestations, all these different belief systems. But at the end of the day, we're so much more alike than we are different.
Wow, well said. Tell me, Barbara, your big takeaway?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, I think, in life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure, to be able to see the perspective from all points of the earth. To be able to engage technology, to edify, to talk about sensitive topics, and to hear a worldview and to be heard as a worldview perspective. I think that has been the best thing for me, and to be able to shine a light on perhaps maybe what people don't know about my corner of the world.
Fantastic. Wow. Wow. Sally, sum it up for us and tell us what this season had the best takeaway for you and what this season means, you think?
All the above. I agree with everything they said because it's been a remarkable group of women. There's been an amazing array of topics. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of the shows that I've done specifically and or I have listened to, mm-hmm. I've gone in with maybe some preconceived notions that have been changed.
Amen.
And that's been, and I just hope that kind of does it to the listeners as
well. Wow. Wow. That is unbelievably, what a gift to hear all of you deliver that. That's huge because that was the mission of this thing. I mean, everything you just laid out there was really the passion and the mission. I want you to know this show has been incredible. It really has been off the charts, a phenomenal body of work. And I don't know how you up the ante on this. I have no idea. Right now, I'm ready to rock the canoe a little bit more. I get real restless at these moments. I can't really explain it. But you're only as good as your last dance is the way I look at life. And I'm always ready to make that dance the very best it can be. Having said that, we have some very unique things coming about at America Out Loud, friends. And I want to talk to you just a moment about that. You know, you're listening today to this fascinating conversation about flirting your way to the boardroom. And you sort of get it. You get the fact that we're not afraid to go there. And you're hearing conversations that are real and honest and open. But a lot of the things we've talked about during this season on this show have been remarkable in the way that we're talking about the things that other people are not, or they're afraid to, or they're running from. They don't have any idea of how to approach these things. Check out all of the women on this show on the platform. They're right on the home page or the show page of America Out Loud. You've got best-selling authors. You've got, you know, elites from the boardroom. You've got the perspective of Hollywood in here. You've got people from around the globe. You've got doctors, healthcare. You've got it all here. It's all here in the unique perspectives that we deliver in this show. Also, check out our store, friends. It's just gone live. You're the first ones to hear about it. Just go to America Out Loud. There'll be a connection right there for you that says to shop to the America Out Loud store. Get all the books there from all the best-selling authors and some really cool items for America Out Loud. Help us push the word out there. Tell folks about this very interesting place we call America Out Loud. Barbara McGee, Gail Murphy, Ava Armstrong, Sally Fernandez. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.